Welcome to Hot Breath Comedy Fam. On Monday, May 13th, I am teaching a clean comedy workshop. The last four I have taught sold out very quickly. So if you want to learn about clean comedy, the business side, where the line is, how to write clean comedy, go to the link in the description of this episode and we'll see you there. What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? We're back. It's Hot Breath Live. We're back, baby. Thank you guys for hanging out. We missed last week. Had a sick family member we had to tend to, but we're back this week. In good form. The health is back. And if you didn't hear this week's episode, I actually posted the interview of me getting interviewed by a student in Vancouver, Canada. He's doing a project about comedy for his school project. And he reached out to me to do an interview. So I posted that interview on the podcast. So definitely want to check that out. It was interesting to hear. He just grilled me on comedy and my journey and young comic advice. It was really fun. I'd like to be on the other side of the mic some. It's fun. It's a fun challenge, a different experience, you know. So
absolutely. That's awesome.
Definitely, dude. Listen to that.
Yeah, I got to check that one out.
But we're back. You know, Joel Byers here with Yoshi So.
Yeah. We in here, baby. Super excited to be back. I'm sad we missed last week, but we are back out here. We're doing the thing. We got a show tomorrow.
Clean Comedy Festival.
Clean Comedy Festival up in Woodstock, Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia.
Taking swings here. You know, our whole mission is to help cultivate self-made comics and... that's what we are. So part of being a self-made comic is let's have an idea and let's try it out. Let's take a swing. So that's what we're doing tomorrow night with this Clean Comedy Festival. You guys know I teach a clean comedy workshop and I'm super passionate about clean comedy. And I feel like with comedy being so popular now, I think there's a lane to just lean into the clean comedy. I don't know why I hear so many comics that are clean and successful, but they're like, they don't lean into the clean. It's almost like they shy away, you know, because I think there's a stigma with clean that it's like corny or it's hacky. But I think this Clean Comedy Festival is an opportunity to say it. No, clean comedy is still killer comedy.
Oh. Very killer comedy.
You know, so I really want to start rebranding clean comedy to be like, oh no, this is like, these aren't silly whatevers. You know, these are hilarious comics and clean comedy is here.
I think a lot of times people don't realize it's clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just hear lots of comedians and you're like, oh, I really enjoyed that. Not realizing that you didn't hear one curse word, one like just very grotesque thing. And then later on, when somebody says, oh, is that clean comedy? Yeah, that was clean comedy. And it's just, I think it's just a good, like, it's got legs, man. Clean comedy has always been successful, always paid more. Clean comedy is good for income. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you just get more opportunities. You get invited to a whole lot more parties, a whole lot more gigs. Yeah, man, there's a huge advantage to clean comedy.
Yeah, it really opened my eyes, the power of it for other comedians, with Mark Norman's interview on the show. And he said if he could start over, he would start clean. Because there's just more work when you're clean. There's more early opportunities when you can be clean. And even now he said, even though he's not clean, it's still a skill that, you know, he opens up for Seinfeld. You know, he said he had to scour all his albums just to find enough 20 minutes to open for Seinfeld. But he said on the podcast, it's a skill every comic should at least have. Even if you're not clean, you should at least be able to be clean. So when this random, you never know what gigs are going to come your way, that it's a lunchtime potluck at a company. And you're performing in like a U-shaped table and you're just standing in the middle while they're at the buffet eating. Yeah. You know what? That gig will pay more
than the rest of that month, maybe the rest of that quarter for you. Absolutely. It's very real. So it's a skill. Definitely think every comic should know. So
absolutely.
That's what I think with the festival. I want to, we'll see what happens. You know, that's we're just taking a swing, seeing what sticks here, but I'm excited for how the tickets are selling based on it being the first one and based on it being a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few factors going against us that I'm excited just to see, gauge the interest. And as you and I have talked about on here before, a lot of your show marketing is word of mouth. It's putting on a really good show, whether it's 5 people, 500 people, you give the people there a killer show that makes them want to tell other people to come back, which is the most important part when you're doing a show, regardless of the size. You give them a show, and that word of mouth is how you're going to build it organically and more sustainably.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. I'm excited for it, man. It's just
Me too.
It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. And like, I love the comics that you have on it. I mean, outside of myself, but you got a pretty solid lineup, dude.
Great lineup. Like, good, diverse lineup. Like, we're checking all the boxes here.
Yeah, they would hire you for sure for corporate clean comedy.
Yes. We're doing our due diligence here on the DEI. But funny, of course. Oh, funny of course. First.
That's the minimum.
Yeah, they're all going to be funny. Oh, and Yvonne said in the live chat that the interview was good with the student from Victoria. I appreciate that Yvonne. Awesome. Yeah. Y'all go listen to that if you haven't. I'll link it in the show notes for this as well. But we do this live stream every Tuesday on our YouTube channel. We like to answer your questions. We like to give up to dates on the comedy happenings that are relevant to comedians. And I think we do already have a question that did come in that I think is a good one to start off with. But I do. Did you see Dave Attell's special?
Uh-huh. Show did.
Of course it was funny. I just didn't. Now, it was I'm conflicted. As a purist.
Talk through your confusion.
As a purist. I want to, Liz, and Liz, Dave Attell, I've seen him live several times here in Atlanta. Lights out funny. Any comic you have heard, they say Dave Attell's his favorite. This is, Dave Attell can do whatever Dave Attell wants.
As a
purist,
Amy Schumer named her kid after Dave Attell. Like, that's how that is. You know what I mean? Like,
wow, I did not realize that.
Yeah.
So I as a purist and fan of Dave Attell, I wanted to see him, because his last per minute are out of bounds. His last per minute are astronomical. I wanted to see him just murder for an hour and say, thank you, Netflix, and cash his check. And he murdered, of course.
Yes.
And then he did like this recorder thing.
Yeah.
It's fun. And I think that's something you and I talked about when you did your special and you were trying to think of how to play with the format of a comedy special and how we talked about, it's basically wide open again. Now that anyone can create a special, now it's about can you make it uniquely yours and play with the format. So that's where the format of a comedy special is headed, beyond just standing there for an hour. So, in one instance, I'm excited to see someone of his caliber saying, just have fun. Whatever you're going to do in your special, just have fun with it. Yes. So I appreciate it for that. But selfishly, as a purist, I just wanted to see just joke for an hour.
Yeah. Did you at least enjoy the joke parts?
Yeah. Oh, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I definitely enjoyed it. I think the one of him, she rode me like she was riding the bus. And then it was like she had her purse on her, like the misdirect there. I can't remember the exact setup. And then like she was asleep. It was just he just tags for days.
Yes.
So I enjoyed the special. But okay. Ending with the whole recorder thing, I was like, oh, I wish he was just murdering with jokes right now, you know?
For
but,
sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. Like, I think to your point, it's very little that Dave Attell can do wrong. He is very much like comedy god, right?
Yes.
But he's seen as comedy god because he does something that not a lot of comedians really do. His laughs per minute are off the charts.
Yes.
Like the amount of jokes, just jokes, that he squeezes into a premise, a setup, a punchline, mm-hmm. like all of it is just astronomical in numbers, right? Like, it's funny because I think I said this. I was like, oh, look at Dave Attell, the white earthquake. Look at Earthquake.
Yeah.
The black Dave Attell, right? I think of them very similar, mm-hmm. just the level of laughs per minute that they put in. Earthquake isn't as silly, it's much more of a storyteller. And Dave Attell, like, that's the thing about Dave Attell is, like, I think when you are watching him, you are getting the experience of comedy and you're being present in that moment and you're getting jokes. I can't remember all the jokes that Dave Attell told because he told so many. Yeah. But I remember laughing my butt off the entire time I was watching the special. I was mm-hmm. like, oh my God, this is great. But I didn't know really much about Dave Attell. That's probably like the only thing is there's not much that you know about him. He is very self-deprecating. The jokes are endless. But there's not really like a personal attachment that you have. Like, I don't know if he has kids. I don't know if he's married. I don't know if he's single. Like, I don't know anything about Dave Attell.
Mm-hmm.
But he's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, he's lights out funny. Yeah.
Lights out funny.
So, yeah, and it was similar to Earthquakes in that it was, I think, 37 minutes. I think is yeah. what he clocked it at. Because I think he said he did a minute for every year he's been in comedy. I think is what I heard him say in an interview.
Yeah. Yeah. I did clock Attell's. It was in the like 11 to 13 laughs per minute range.
Dude. Oh, solid. Yeah.
It was like just the amount, like you said, the amount of tags and like, and he doesn't let people breathe either.
No, like, and it's effortless. It's like effortless. He's doing it so yeah. nonchalantly. And yeah. it's almost like just like he's sport. throwing yeah. these lines out. Yeah. Just not even like, here's a punchline, here's another one. It's yeah. just blah, 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 blah. And each one just happens to be a killer punchline. It's...
Yeah. Yeah. It is an incredible special, man. I was like...
It is. Yeah, wow. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He got in there. He was like, oh, wow. He's just... I mean, I love it because I think I love seeing that style and knowing sort of just Dave Attell's story and sort of just... You know, he's been in the game for a while. He was doing those late night dive bar shows like way before Anthony Bourdain. And just like, and then all of a sudden he went back to comedy and you hadn't really heard from him. But he is just a staple in the comedy community. And when you watch his show, when you go see his show live, that's a comedy experience. Like for it sure. is a raucous, loud, lots of laughter. It's like a freaking party, but it's just jokes. He's just delivering jokes
yep.
after jokes after jokes for an hour, right? Like his live shows are straight up. That's an hour of yeah, jokes.
Nonstop.
Nonstop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The crazy part, I remember seeing him in New York, and I've seen him live as well. Not the same jokes. It's always different. Like it's just. Like, so I don't even know how Dave Attell works on new stuff because I just think everything that comes out of his mouth is just just a solid joke that's already come out. Obviously, he works on it, but you're like, when does this guy actually work on his stuff? But he gets up like every night. He's at the Comedy Cellar every single night.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great takeaway for comics is one, to watch the special. It's called Hot Cross Buns. It's on Netflix. Just to study the caliber of joke writing and the tightness. You know, there's so many when comics ask for feedback on jokes and stuff, a lot of the times it's, well, you said a joke that was 3 minutes and it got 2 laughs. So how can you edit it down to get those 2 laughs within 30 seconds? Or how can you start to add more punchlines within that 3 minutes? And it, he's a great example of just someone who's just like, laugh. And yeah. Someone who's been doing it almost 40 years. And like you said, still is out at the club, still hitting it hard, still working just out stuff. So
murdering.
Definitely someone to study. And yeah, in comedy, you know, he's legendary. And he's not as big of a household name. Now, everywhere he goes, he sells out, of course. But, you know, he's not on, like, a Nate level or something like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Even Nate will say, yeah, Dave's the GOAT. So many comics, those New York comics, all know Dave's the GOAT. So definitely watch that special if you haven't.
Yeah. So good.
Worth a gander just to see where the bar is at and to watch him play the recorder at the end, which you can have your own. Did you enjoy it? Were you? I don't want to harp on this. You thought it was just fun.
I enjoyed it because I didn't see it coming. And that's such a Dave thing to do, right?
Like, yeah.
Such a thing to, like, surprise you with something. And then, like, it was very Family Guy-ish. Like, oh, we're going to have this thing and we're going to milk it to an uncomfortable level. And that's exactly what he did.
He's like, no, this is the bit.
This is a bit.
Like, this is all of it. This is the closer. This is, yeah. We're still going. We're still doing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I don't want to say it's Family Guy that come up with that, but that's what I think of Family Guy, just the show. It's like they'll have a bit and then they'll just take it like almost too far. But the too far is part of the bit. Taking it too far is the bit.
Right.
And that recorder, you're like, I mean, when I saw, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's different. He can play a recorder. Oh, we're playing the recorder. Oh, we're doing this.
Still. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is the rest of the bit. Like, this is it.
We won't give away too much, but it's worth watching. You know, one of the best to ever do it. It's definitely a master class on joke writing. So definitely check that out.
Class.
I just don't think I hadn't asked anyone about it. So I was just curious other people's opinion on.
Yeah. And I was told to go watch it. Like, it was literally after that, after the mic that you were not at, that you skipped because you were taking care of your loved ones.
But that is when I watched the special, though, as well.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it all worked out.
Yo, you got to watch that. And I, like literally, I went home. I was like, all right, let me just knock this out. Because I hate having it in my head. Like, when something's like, when someone recommends something, I'm like, all right, let me go just knock this out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was worth it. So good.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go check out Dave Attell. Go study some good joke writing there. And we opened up this talking about clean comedy, not clean comedy. So I don't want there to be any confusion that we're talking about clean comedy and then we brought up Dave Attell. Two separate topics.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. He does have some clean jokes, but definitely not a clean comedian.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Oh, we got some questions rolling in here. So this is one of the perks. If you guys do join us live on our YouTube channel on Tuesdays at 5 p.m., we will answer your comedy questions live here on the show. So do join us over there if you can, my friends. And I do want to – there was some confusion on our last live stream. I had people reaching out worried I wasn't teaching another clean comedy workshop. I was out of town this weekend, and I'm out of town this upcoming weekend. So I was just implying I won't be able to do it for a few weeks because I'm out of town. But someone recommended doing one during a weeknight, perhaps. So we may switch it up instead of a Sunday, maybe do it on a weeknight if that works for peeps. So just let me know your feelings there. But let's get into these questions.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that. I forget this is public and then people reach out to me about what was said on here. And I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody
wants to describe the podcast now, they're like, you realize you're just talking, right? And somebody's going to hold for those words. Yeah. You know what I mean? We didn't get to do that back in the day. Like, no,
in
no,
the
no.
best just, way.
In the best way. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I love about the Hot Breathiverse, because it's engaged. It's comics helping comics. So I love the engagement and the feedback on all the episodes. So it's all positive.
Yeah.
So yeah, the first one here, first question is from Amir, who says, "Hey guys, need your insight. How do you balance having a healthy competitive mindset that pushes you, but not letting yourself get lost in comparing yourself to others?"
Yeah, I think in comedy, and this will help you out. Don't compare yourself to others in comedy. It is a waste of time. It is not worth it. If you like something, or if you're like, oh, somebody's doing something cool, praise that person, move on. Don't compare yourself to them. Everyone has a different journey. Everyone came from a different background. And the way to be successful in comedy has been rewritten in so many different ways. There's not one way to be successful in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest way that you want to try, and that every comedian from all the interviews that Joel has been doing for years, get on stage. Mm-hmm. Do it more right. Like, that's how you get good at it. The comparison thing just is a, you know, I'm a sound like a life coach on Instagram. It's just a waste of time. It is just a waste of your time. Waste of your time, your energy, like your soul. It is not worth it to think about other people as you're doing this. The work is the stage.
And it's out of your control. That's the biggest thing. That the focusing on what you can control is something I constantly have to remind myself of. Of course, I'm not perfect at this, but I know when I, about 7 or 8 years into my comedy journey, when I did have that mindset shift, that's when opportunities started to happen. And that's because I was creating them for myself. So I think the healthy competitive mindset could be, okay, this person, for example, produced their own local show. Oh, cool. Good for them. It's showing that it's possible. Maybe, let me produce my own local show, or let me produce my own comedy special, or start my own podcast. Or every time I see this comic at an open mic, they're doing new jokes, or they have new tags for their jokes. You can tell they're always grinding. Ooh, I need to step up my game. Not why are they working so hard, but seek inspiration in the success of others. Yeah. And that's really going to help you have longevity in this game and not become bitter or burn out. And it's a intentional practice. You have to choose to think and feel that way. And it's something I still have to do. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's natural to see like your peers or people that you've been comedy with go get stuff, go get like, you know, accolades, and be like, I wish that was me. But like, yeah, simmer in that for like a couple of seconds and then move on. Not in your control. Nothing about it, like nothing you could have done about it. So focus on the thing that you can control, which is your writing, your skill sets, your stage time.
Yep. Ba-boom.
Ba-boom.
Great question though, because that is a common one.
It happens.
Yep. Next...
Also, I feel like it also happens a lot when people get into festivals. Like, there's just this like overarching like gloss that people have, like, man, why didn't they take me? Blah, 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 blah.
They're let not funny go. Or
yeah, they're not. Let that stuff go. Mm-hmm. It does not matter. Yeah, a festival didn't take you. So what? Just didn't happen. It means nothing. It literally means nothing.
Yeah, just enjoy. And I think what helps also, a lot of comics will ask me about going full time, and I just want to quit my day job and do comedy full time. I always recommend, and this is just me, I have friends who slept on couches for years, and now they were on the Tonight Show and all this, and it's totally cool, and they just jumped in. But it can very easily, when comedy becomes your full-time gig, it can very easily, if you're not careful, suck the fun out of it, because now it's not a fun hobby or fun thing you can do creatively. Now it's like, oh no, I need to get something out of comedy. I need to book this. I need X, Y, and Z. Oh, that person got it. They're not even funny. Why are they farther along or whatever? And then that comparison can sneak in that way as well. So I'm not telling people not to jump in or quit their job or whatever. I just know from personal experience, when it is your job, it complicates the relationship with comedy a bit and can make it less fun and more stressful. And then you can forget why you started to begin with. So it's a delicate dance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Well said.
So we have another question here from Moodit. And I pronounced it right. Moodit. And if you're listening to the podcast, like, I don't get why that's a big deal. Well, then you weren't here for the live stream, because we do a pre-show live stream show.
Yeah.
Before we go live on the podcast, and we talk to the people that are in our live stream. And Moodit reminded me that I've been mispronouncing his name for, I would say, years now. In the pre-show. So if you want to be a part of the pre-show, join us on the live stream on Tuesdays at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
So his question. What'd you say?
I said, we just gone with it. We're just like, uh-huh, that's it. Just yeah.
Played
and
along.
He's been generous not to say anything.
But now.
But he's like comfortable enough to be like, hey down. Guys, you know, I mess with y'all and I post your stuff and you guys have posted my stuff and we could be friends. My name is not what you said it is.
Boot it, you racist. You colonizer. So Moodit asked, if a comic does their own multiple city tour, what do you recommend they do for lodging?
Yeah, it just depends on what kind of standards you have.
Yep.
What I mean? Early on in my career, it didn't matter. I would a lot of times just ask comedians who were in that city, hey, can I just crash on your couch? Nowadays, I get a hotel in the room. I don't sleep in the car. I've never slept in the car. I just don't feel comfortable sleeping in my car. But there's some comedians, they sleep in their car. They've got a bed in the back and they find a parking lot and a Walmart, and that's where they stay when they have their multiple city tour. It just works on your preference and your standards, man. That's really it. And if you know, standards are different. Some are okay sleeping in places that feel uncomfortable. And if you're good with that, do that.
Yeah, I've done the whole gambit. I've slept in cars. I've slept on floors, couches. I mean, there was one when probably the first big tour I did with two other comics, Ryan Danisco and Devin Gollins. We called it the Almost Grown Ups Tour. We were so in. We did photos. I actually have I have like a collage of all these different show photos or show posters I've done over the years. And we went to like a playground and did like a promo shoot. And one of us was in like a dress up suit. One of us was in like a track suit. And then another was in like a bathing suit. And so we were in all these different types of suits. And at one of the gigs to sell tickets to promote the show, we went to a local mall and we're handing out like our info on the back of perfume samples. We like wrote on the back of perfume samples our info for the show that night, and we're handing them out to people in a mall. But on this big run, we stayed at one of their friends' place where one of us slept in a closet, another one was on a futon, another one was on an air mattress, and we're all just and that was the whole tour. I mean, I think, and when I say tour, I use that very loosely, in that we showed up to one venue that forgot we were even doing a show.
Oh, that's the best. That's the best when they forget, when they didn't put it on that calendar. Oh my God.
And this isn't like, we weren't good. So it's not like we're like, oh, we'll do a show anyway, and we'll whip up a show. We know how to get it, because this was like a bar, and she offered to let us sleep in the back of the bar. Like, there was no hotel. It was... Now, I think one of the nights, maybe we did sleep in a hotel, and we shared, you know, like, Ryan and I slept in a bed together, and then Devin got his own bed. That's when I discovered melatonin, actually. Devin had melatonin. And I haven't been the same ever since. I've been chasing that dragon ever since. Got that REM sleep at the Red Roof Inn. I've been chasing that REM sleep ever since. But yeah, like we say, have said on here before, a lot of your opportunities are going to come from other comedians. Yeah. And a lot of those kind of helpful accommodations are going to come from other comedians as well. Basically, on that tour, we stayed with other comedians. One time we stayed with the comic that booked us on the show. So in the early days, that's great. I won't now. I mean, honestly, if the gig doesn't have a hotel, it may not happen. Unless it pays enough. Unless it pays enough that I could pay for a hotel and still make money.
Yeah.
But I think I have stayed in a hotel to not make money on a show before, because I just didn't want to like live my life like that anymore. I don't want to sleep on a floor. I don't, at a certain point, you know. But
yeah,
you and I did that Charleston gig, and we were going to drive back that night, and the host was like, oh, wait, hold on. You guys, I'm married to a doctor. We have plenty of room. So, you know, if it was us cuddling on a couch situation, we may have driven back. But we each got our own room, very nice house.
Yeah, I think we got our own bathrooms. It was that.
Yeah,
nice.
We did. So that's actually a really good point. Yeah. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, excuse, can we see the accommodations? Is this on Airbnb? Can we get? Are you a super host?
No, it was amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's all about what your standard of living is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like buddy of mine, Hans Kim, lived inside of his he's on Kill Tony now and tours with Tony Hinchcliffe. He lived in a car when he was living in Atlanta. Like, it was like a Sprinter van, pretty much, for like years. Like, actually the whole time he was doing comedy, he was living in a car. And he just got an apartment maybe 2 years ago when he went to Austin and started doing Kill Tony. Yeah. So when he was in the city, he just lived in a van. Yeah. Like, put all his money. He was like, all right, I'm going to just live in this van for time, and then traveled across the Southeast and all over the country just doing comedy. So it just depends on your standards. And no, there's no judgment on whatever you do. Whatever you do, as long as it's right for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So for Mood It, it may be this first multiple city tour. You are staying on couches. You're just working on building your name on the road, building your network. And those early ones are most likely the ones where it is staying on a couch and things like that.
I mean, you can also, you know, and hotels are so different, and there's Airbnb now. I like the Airbnb option. Like, when possible, I will do that, either do a room or do like a whole house, whatever it may be, just because I have found that to be a whole lot cheaper for me.
Because
the hotels add all the fees and all the other stuff. So yeah, just whatever's right for you.
Yep. But an important thing to think about when you are putting together a tour, all those accommodations and travel and all that. And Rob B asked if the hotel's a tax write-off, which... I'm not an accountant, but I've written off hotels. Yeah. So I hope I don't want to blow up my spot. Write-off.
Yeah. No. It's a tax write-off. Yeah. Your stay for a show. Of course it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I'm not an accountant. We should get one on here to talk about all those areas, but you can write off a lot of stuff.
Yeah. We should get Gilbert on here. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. You can write off a lot of stuff. So the next question I'm seeing here is from Cole Watson. And I see Brian Walker just posted one as well.
Cole Watson.
Cole Ed Sheeran Watson. I was trying the word generator joke writing exercise and struggled. Are there any videos of something similar to that? I think that could be a fun and practical process to see. Word generator exercise, a video. Where did you see it? Was it not a video? Yeah, maybe a little more
context.
Choose more specific words. Generate different words to ask the question.
Put your question in AI and say
another hey, word generator.
What am I trying to say here?
That's hilarious. Oh, he said he heard it from Yoshi.
Oh,
word generator?
Yeah, the word generator, just like the thing that gives you like a single word and write from that. It's just a writing exercise that gives you a word, like just like a random word, kind of like what we do in the hot breath.
Oh, the right 10 club.
Random word of the day.
Oh, right.
And then you literally just write. So I think maybe the exercise is a little different. But the exercise is just meant to be, here's a word inspiration. You open your notebook, and if you're, you know, whether you do it on your phone, open whatever, your notes app, and you just write based on that word. It doesn't have to be that word. It can just be inspired from that word. And the goal of the Write 10 Club is that you write a joke based on that word.
Yeah. And I've done, back in the day, I did a live stream. I used to live stream the Write 10 Club.
Mm-hmm.
And So there are some videos on the YouTube channel of me actually doing the exercise live that I will paste in the live chat for those of you. And I can paste it in the show notes of the podcast as well, where you can see me going through, okay, here's a random word. In the next 10 minutes, I'm going to work on writing a joke using that word. And in our Facebook group, every day, Bobby Sutton is posting a new word. There's a joke writing contest every single day in our Facebook group. So if you're not in there, you got to get in there. And then there's a winner, and Evelyn creates a meme for the winner, and it's all fun and collaborative. So every day you can go into the Facebook group and get a new word and just try to write some jokes with it, read other people's jokes, get some feedback on your jokes.
Yeah.
So it's a great resource for anyone looking to just level up their writing. So that video should probably help there, Cole. So we appreciate you doing the research before asking the question. Are there videos on this? I didn't look.
So
but
of course yeah. I mean,
no, I'm just kidding. When
you first started it, you had videos on how to do it.
Yeah, I was just kidding. Yeah, they're from like a year ago, so they're kind of buried down in the YouTube channel.
A year ago. Look at you. Get you being generous with your time. Those were years ago.
Bro. I did it live for over 400 days in a row.
Yeah.
And then I had a breakdown and said, "Thank you for your time, everyone. We must now stand down." That's why
it was a beautiful breakdown. It was the best breakdown I've ever seen.
The greatest. Some would say the greatest. I can't even do the accent. It's just too triggering for me. It's too cringy. I just look too much like Barron Trump to do any Trump impression.
One of the greatest that I've ever seen.
I did. I cried and everything. It was wild.
There were tears. There was
And that one's on the Patreon. You're not getting access to that. We're putting that one behind a paywall, children.
Hilarious.
So yeah, let's do a few more here. I see Brian Walker's question. Do you think that working touring comedians get even better because the lifestyle allows them more material to work with? All right, let me try this again. Take two. Brian Walker's question, Hot Breath Live, take two. Do you think that working touring comedians get even better because the lifestyle allows them more material to work with? It seems like having a boring life to start changes. Oh, okay. So he just doesn't know how to type. Okay. I thought it was me reading. And then as it goes along, it seems like having a boring life to start changes when you tour. So, okay. I'm glad that wasn't my reading comprehension, but just a paragraph of typos. Just we need the word generator. We need that for two questions now.
I think it's
but thank you for asking, like, Brian. I think it's basically, do touring comedians have a more exciting life to create material from? Seems to be it. I mean, it really depends. Like, the reality of touring is sometimes it's Uber to the airport, TSA, flight, Uber to the hotel, nap, yep. Show, wake up at 11, walk to get coffee, maybe at a Quick Trip, very fancy. And maybe you go do activities like, you know, yes. When you do see the tour vlogs of Tom Segura and Nate Bargatze and it shows them doing all these cool things. I mean, sometimes touring is just hotel, show, alone, TSA, rental car, repeat. So I think having an exciting life is up to you in general. I mean, yes, you can make your touring life exciting. Yes, you can make your life exciting and just being open to new experiences or even just being open to observing and looking at your current life with a funnier perspective or a different lens that may set up to find humor in. So I don't think you necessarily have to be like, oh, I need a different lifestyle to write better jokes. Just start to be open to observing jokes, not necessarily saying as you're talking to someone thinking, oh, is that a joke? Is that a joke? Is that a joke? Is that a joke? It's more of just, and that's why I think writing in the morning is so valuable. And that's why the Write 10 Club started in the morning. And that's why we do it at 10 a.m. because starting out writing in the morning, it just primes your brain to start thinking in funny, to start thinking in jokes. So as you go throughout your day, you may have an idea that's a random connection to something that happened. You could be at a stoplight and someone pulls up on a motorcycle and then it reminds you of something funny that happened in high school about a scooter or something. So it's just being open to the possibility of jokes and not necessarily trying to go out and, oh, I'm going to go skydiving so I get a whole new 5 minutes. It doesn't necessarily translate that way. I think it's better just to be open to anything that may happen in your life, that the possibility is there for a joke, but not necessarily trying to force it with choosing specific activities or trying to live your life in a way that's going to create funny moments. I think it's just the organic is where the best humor is going to come from.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you nailed it, man. I mean, I think a big part of traveling is what you make out of it. Like, you know, I've traveled and I've done many tours where I was in multiple cities and the gigs weren't paying that much for me to do other activities. Mm-hmm. The Nate Bargatzes and the Tom Seguras, like, they're doing stadiums. So, of course, they're doing stuff and part of their, like, entire ecosystem. So if you're able to, by for sure, like, have fun in the city, like go explore it, go like learn new things. I forget who it was. It might have been Cat Williams mentioned that like he'll go, every city he goes to, he gets the newspaper, reads through the newspaper to like learn about what's happening in that community or in that city at the moment. So which I think is just super smart. And I think a lot of comedians do that too, of just like figuring out what are the things that is happening in those cities overall.
Yeah, so I don't want to make it sound like touring is boring or whatnot. It's just, it's what you make it. And that can apply to your own life as well. So I just give yourself more credit in your day-to-day life. There's opportunities to find funny things that happen or funny ideas. And it's generating ideas the same as writing jokes. It's, you know, you have 10 or 20 and you keep one or two of them at the end of the day. So yeah, I think give yourself some credit there, Brian. I think you got things going on in your own life that you can start to pull from. And if it's not in your present day, think about what are some things that are interesting to you? What are things that happen in your life as a child that were funny, or even just not even every joke has to start as funny. A lot of it is just from a place of curiosity to where you want to find what's funny about whatever happened. I think a lot of comics think it's just abracadabra funny, but my favorite joke started of something real that happened that I just felt like within my sense of humor, my senses were tingling that there's something here. Yep. And that natural curiosity is what's going to motivate you to actually put in the work to find what's funny about whatever that premise or experience is. So
absolutely.
I think you got this, Brian. I don't think you necessarily need to travel to come up with new material. You know, I think you got this, buddy.
Yeah. It's just about taking note of what you find funny and what's around you. The majority of the stuff that's around you is actually usually pretty funny already. It's just of how do you take note and how do you find like premises that you, like, are you, they're like, oh, this is interesting. And then you go back and work on it. Like Joel said, just work on something. Like Joel likes sugar. He noticed his love of sugar. Mm. And then he worked on, there's something here about this sugar thing that I'm, you know, that's
sugar.
Like, you know. I done
and this weekend
him.
Was
I
Easter. Oh, you gonna have me relapse? I got a chocolate bunny in there right now, and that is not a stripper. That's a chocolate bunny. I'm gonna be good though. I'm gonna be good and wait till the camera's off.
Yeah.
And Jerry said in the live chat, whenever someone says they have writer's block, I say go out and do something new, take notes, even if it's just mental. And yeah it's changing your environment as well. Going to the park and writing, or going to museum. I used to write in like a Target cafeteria, or I would write in random places just to switch things up and just to shake it up, you know? So you don't have to travel anywhere, whatever, extravagant to find new material, even just switching up your environment. You normally write in your dining room, try to write in the kitchen, or try to write in the bathroom, you know, instead of just scrolling TikTok on the toilet. Maybe check home with some ideas while you're on there. Who knows?
Do you have that in your arsenal, TikTok on the toilet?
I don't have TikTok on the toilet in my arsenal, but I have that squatty potty pooping
yeah.
joke, so it'd probably work there.
Oh my god, yes. I think you've got the something on the Twitter or something like that, but that's funny.
Yeah, that's like the power of threes, where it's the type and wipe, Facebook snoop and poop, and then Twitter on the and then I like you get it, and then it fills in. They think, you know, the S, and I don't have to say it because we clean. Clean comedy. Great question there though, Brian. Yeah, you got this, fam. You got this. Oh, and Valencia said, hey, guys. Hey, Valencia, we were just about to land the plane. So we appreciate you coming in here in the final minute. We appreciate everyone for hanging out. We do this every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And I am planning to do another clean comedy workshop very soon. So you can join the wait list. I'll link that in the show notes. So you'll get first dibs on it. They've all sold out, Yoshi. Very quickly. It's been amazing to see.
That's awesome, dude.
All the people interested in learning clean comedy is, and the feedback has been amazing. So I'm excited about it.
That's awesome.
Even though I just sighed when I said it, I am excited. I was just thinking about the show tomorrow and having to drive in traffic. And it's going to be worth it though. It's gonna be worth it though.
Yeah.
It's gonna be worth it. Fun.
Hilarious.
All right, let's land this plane. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let us know what you thought of this show. Connect with us. You know, we want to help create self-made comics. So whatever we can do to do that, please reach out with ideas. We're a community of comics helping comics. So whatever we can do to help, we want to do it. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us and give us ideas. You know, we're just here to help. So
we appreciate y'all spending your time with us. What you got coming up, Joel? Outside the Clean Comedy Festival tomorrow in Woodstock, April 3rd, Wednesday.
Clean Comedy Festival, Wednesday. And then I'm doing Holly Ballantyne, who is on the festival tomorrow. I'm doing her show on Friday.
Nice. Where is that at?
And then I'm doing a show in Dixon, Tennessee.
Nice.
Ooh. Clean show. In Dixon, and on Saturday, and then we're doing our show next Saturday, the 13th.
At the Freedom Brewery. Freedom Brew and Shine in Cummins, Georgia. Cummins, Georgia. Clean show. Also a clean show. Just a heads up, guys.
Oh, is it? Nice.
No, for you, it's a clean show.
Oh. For everybody else. Yeah. I didn't know. I was like, oh, is it now? Yes, queen. What about you?
Festival tomorrow with Joe Byers, and then I got Red Clay Music Foundry in downtown Duluth on Friday, and then the Punchline. I'm doing the 8 o'clock World Series show in Atlanta, and then we got next week. We got the 13th, the show in Freedom Brewery at Cummins, Georgia. Or I said it backwards that time. In Cummins, Georgia at Freedom Brewery. Brewery.
Very nice. Well, thank you to everyone that hung out through all of that extra outro that we did. You're the real Hot Breathers. I played the theme song, and then we were like, no, let's give us these dates that most of you don't live near. But those of you that do, you never know who will show up. You know, I mentioned the Tennessee show on the last one, and then someone reached out about wanting to come to it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You got to say, you got to say, you're right.
You got to say it.
We appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Well, we'll be back next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel. We love you all. Ow, we out you. Bye, y'all.
Holla, 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 holla.
Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.